This past Sunday evening, my wife and I were watching TV when Mr. Robin Weber called about a horrific tour bus crash that had just occurred on Highway 38, not too far from Mr. and Mrs. Fred Richardson's home. Since it was so early in the reporting of the accident, Mr. Weber didn't have all of the details regarding the accident, but from what information he had, it seemed that Mr. Richardson was involved in that accident. And he was requesting that we put in a special prayer to God that if Mr. Richardson was in that accident, that God would intervene and help him out. My wife and I complied immediately, asking God to provide that help. After our prayers, we turned on the news station, and on Channel 5, we found that the station was streaming live video from the accident scene. As we looked at the accident scene, I could see Fred's truck, and it really looked bad. As I looked at that mangled truck, I told my wife, I said, you know, if God doesn't intervene, he's not going to make it through that accident. Later in the evening, we did find out that Fred was involved in that accident, and that he was in the hospital and listed as critical condition. And as we all know now, Mr. Fred Richardson did not recover from the accident and died a few days later on Wednesday morning at 6:39 a.m. at Loma Linda University Medical Center. You know, when something like this happens to a member in God's church in such good standing, it goes beyond our comprehension to understand the chain of events. Fred had served God and the church faithfully for decades, and he will be missed tremendously here in the Redlands Church and in the community in which he lived. So why did God allow this to happen to Fred? Was it not only a few days earlier when Mr. Fred Richardson was standing right where I'm at right now and gave an excellent message about not taking God's name in vain? Just a tremendous job. I remember after services, Mr. Richardson came to me and he said, there's a member that needs to be anointed. Would you like to take him over to the room and anoint him? I said, yes, sir, we will. And we did. Fred is no longer with us now. Of course, this is not the first time that a leader in the church has died a violent death when he was serving in such a high-profile capacity. I am reminded of the death of Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong's eldest son, Richard Armstrong, in a head-on auto crash on July the 23rd, 1958. Richard Armstrong was one of the ranking ministers at Ambassador College under his father, Herbert W. Armstrong, which we all know. And he was well known for his works in the ministry. It was in the summer of 1958 that Richard Armstrong, along with an assistant by the name of Alton Billingsley, went on a baptismal tour up the California coast near San Luis Obispo. It was after the baptism of a man from one of their scheduled appointments that Mr. Richard Armstrong and Mr. Billingsley were traveling on Highway 101. When Mr. Billingsley, who was the one doing the driving, made an error in judgment that proved disastrous for Richard Armstrong. The highway is not like it is today. At that time, 101 at places was divided. You had divided highway. Other places, it would narrow down to just one lane, both ways. As he was driving along, Mr. Billingsley, he was on divided highway. The highway changed over and reverted to that single lane each way. Apparently, he did not realize that he was on a now single lane each way highway. And so what he thought he would do, this was a car in front of him, he thought he would pass him on the left, it would be okay, it's a divided highway, right? And go around him and been in front of him, because the guy was kind of going a little slow. Well, it turned out just as he pulled out and was almost past him, another car came up over a hill in their lane. And when two cars are going 60 miles an hour at each other, things happen very, very rapidly. There was a head-on collision. Three-car accident. Mr. Richard Armstrong was severely injured, critically taken to the hospital. Mr. Billingsley, who was the one driving, was examined by the doctors at the hospital and found not to have any problems whatsoever and was dismissed. The injuries to Richard Armstrong, were so bad that the physicians in the local hospital called to a main medical center, Harbor UCLA Med Center in Torrance, California, to have a couple of specialists come by and see what they could do for Richard Armstrong. They looked at him and they said, he needs to be taken down to a major facility there, our hospital in Torrance, so that we can take care of him. He is in severe condition. They started taking him to the hospital. They got him to the hospital, but by that time it was too late. He died at the hospital. On July the 30th, Richard Armstrong died, leaving behind a young wife by the name of Lois and a 2.5-month-old baby. The death of Richard Armstrong was devastating to the church at the time, just as the death of Mr. Fred Richardson is devastating to us now. When things like this happen, it sets us back in our understanding, and we say, well, where's the fairness in all of this? How is God working with us as Christians? What is the problem? Well, we can be comforted as these chain of events transpire by looking to God's word for answers that will comfort us. The purpose of this message today is to give us some perspective on the timelines of when and why God's servants die. Point number one is this: sooner or later, we're all going to die. Point number one: sooner and later, we're all going to die. Please turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 5. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 5. A very wise man once said, there's only two things we can be sure about in this life, and that's death and taxes. Taxes are coming up shortly, and I know that is going to be upon us. But right now we're thinking about death. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to think about my mortality, about the fact that I'm going to die someday. And at my age, the day is probably rapidly approaching. God tells us in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 27, and I quote, "And as is appointed for all men to die once, but then after this, the judgment." King Solomon, a very wise man, summarized these things very well in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 5. And let's read that. "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Please turn with me back a couple of pages to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. Let's start reading verses 18 through 21. Here is Solomon's observations that we can certainly take to heart as we look at ourselves and our mortality today. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 18. "I said in my heart concerning the condition of sons of men, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For what happens to the son of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them and one dies, so dies the other. Surely they have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of animal, which goes down to the earth?" And I think that we'd all agree with that. We can look around. I know that I had a couple of little rabbits as pets in my home. They died. They got old. They geriatric rabbits. See, have you ever heard of that? Well, I had a couple of them. Loved them dearly, but they got old and they died. And you know what? That's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you, too. We need to understand it. The difference between the animals and us, though, it says very clearly that our spirit, the thing that makes us up, this physical body, this is only a housing. The real character and us individually is what is in that spirit that is in this body. And it returns to God when we die. Let's read about that over in Ecclesiastes 12th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Let's start in verse 6. It says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosened and the golden bowl is broken and the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. That's this physical human being, the bodies that we have. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's what we have. God gave human beings a spirit. And it's that spirit is what makes us up, our personality, our character, our being. And when we die, the body goes back to dust. But that spirit returns to God who gave it. As human beings, we can look around for the oldest person to be found. At the most, we will find somebody that maybe is somewhere between 110, 120 years of age. But you know they're rare. You don't see them that often. We know that sooner or later that Christians will die, like all other human beings throughout history. But that time frame is not set in stone, which brings us to point number two. Point number two is this. Time and chance applies to us all. And while we're here in Ecclesiastes, we just turn back to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 11. Most people agree that the circumstances of time and chance happen to every physical human being here on earth. And as we go throughout our Christian lives, God provides protection from most of the time and chance events that can do us harm. But in his wisdom, there are times when he allows time and chance to affect us. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 45, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the good as well as evil people. Now, we know that there is nothing that God can't do. And as a loving Father and wonderful Creator, he knows the boundaries that he should and should not do. When Jesus said, "Thy will be done," Christ didn't set any boundaries for God the Father. His life was according to the will of God, and that's the way we have to look at it. Whatever God's will is for us, that's what we want to zero in on. And let's look at it here now in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 11. And I returned, and I saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. This is an observation by King Solomon, and it is certainly appropriate. Good things do happen, not only to good people, but to bad people. Conversely, bad things happen to both good and bad people. Please turn with me now to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke, the 13th chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 5. This is where Christ was talking about things that by time and chance happen to people. And let's get his perspective on what can happen in time and chance. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5. There were present at the season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you not suppose that the Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or of the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Now, Christ was acknowledging the principle that King Solomon had reiterated some 1,000 years earlier. Jesus noted that the incident at Siloam, where the tower that they were in fell down, killed a lot of people. Now, we don't know exactly what all was going on there. Maybe there was some faulty construction. Maybe it wasn't done just right. Too many people in the stands or whatever it was. But whatever the factors were, it was just time and chance. Things happened. The tower fell down. People died. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, verse 29. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, verse 29. Question. What fundamental biblical principle can give us a proper perspective when inexplicable things happen and occur to Christians? What's the answer? When something happens and you just say, I don't understand that. I can't put a good answer and understanding on why that occurred. That answer can be found here in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, verse 29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us, that our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. We can glean from this that God simply does not reveal a reason for everything that happens to us in our life. Therefore, that means that us as physical human beings, we can't provide an accurate answer either. Because God knows what's going on. And sometimes these things are secret. He just says we don't need to know about it right now. But in His plan, there is a good reason. It is because of this, because we don't always know everything that is going on. As we look at this principle, we should never look at anybody in the church who has died of some maybe horrible disease like cancer or was killed in some devastating accident and say, well, you know, they must have been a bad Christian because look at the way they died. Nonsense. God says there's some things you just don't know and you don't understand. He said, but I understand, and there's a reason why He's doing that. And we've got to put our trust and faith in God that what He is doing is right and appropriate. The way we should look at these events when sometimes things like this happen that are pretty devastating, we just got to say that maybe God looked at that person and said he's reached the level of character development that I would like to see in him. And then He allows the time and chance to take its toll. So how does God look at the death of one of His servants? Point number 3. The death of one of God's servants is precious in His sight. Point number 3 is this. The death of one of God's servants is precious in His sight. Please turn with me to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. I like what David had to write here, because it kind of sums up the life of a typical Christian. A lot of us in this room right here today. Talks about the times when things don't always go so well for us. Things can be pretty tough and pretty bad. And I look around this room, I see a lot of people who have had trials in their health. And other things, you might say, well, wait a minute, why is this happening to me? You know? Well, it happened to David. It happened to a lot of us in this room, too. I'm sure every one of us can talk about different things that have not always gone the best for us. Let's see what David had to say here in Psalms 116, verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from failing. You know, David was talking about here that there have been times he could have died. but God stepped in and intervened. Does that mean then that David lived forever? David's not alive right now. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I spoke, and I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Verse 12, what shall I render the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? And God has. He's blessed all of us. Now, we know we have trial and tribulation, but God pulls us through everything that is bad. He's always there for us. I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Why? Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's the way God looks at us whenever one of his servants die. Now, human beings, we don't want to die. We'll go to the doctors. We'll take whatever medication is prescribed to help us feel better, to prolong our lives. But you know, there are those times when it comes that death is probably the best thing for us. And that brings us to point number four. Point number four is this. Death can be a place of safety for God's elect. Death can be a place of safety for God's elect. Please turn with me to Job, the 14th chapter. Job, the 14th chapter. Job was a wise man, like Solomon. God had given him understanding. There were a lot of things that he knew that God has allowed to be documented and passed along to us. And we need to see some of the things that Job had to say. In the world, under the influence of Satan, we're reaching a point of eradication of the entire human family, unless God steps in. And he will, and he'll set up the kingdom of God. But during that last time frame, before God does set up the kingdom of God here on this earth, there may be a lot of very terrible things going on. And as we read the prophecies, we can see that that is the situation. That is going to be occurring. And sometimes death is a way to kind of hide us from all of those things that are coming our way. And let's read what Job had to say here in Job, the 14th chapter. Let's start reading in verse 10 even. But a man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last and where he is. As water disappears from the sea and as a river becomes parched and dries up, so a man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awaken nor be roused from their sleep. And sleep here is just a euphemism for being dead. And that's the way God looks at it, because it isn't death permanently. God can resurrect people, and we know that that is going to occur in the future. But in verse 13 it says, oh, that you would hide me in the grave, and that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, and that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Yeah, you can be in that grave, but God doesn't forget about you. He will remember you, and he will remember Fred and all the rest of us who die in the faith. As a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. Yes, that is true. All of us will be changed at that point in time. You know, at this point now in this message, probably most of you are saying, well, you know, Larry, I understand that sooner or later we will all die. I understand that time and chance, even though God protects us many times from a lot of things that can occur to us that are bad and horrible, that even at times those Christians can be have the influence and be under the curse of time and chance. And we know that the death of Christians is precious in God's eyesight. And we know that the grave can be a place of safety when there's a lot of wrath going on. We all understand that. But what about the living left behind when a loved one dies? That, I think, is very important. And we need to really focus in on that for our point number five. It all works out for the best. Please turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. These verses, I tell you, I read them all the time. They are very encouraging. They give me strength to go on. This is God's word to us. This is God's instruction book to the human family. And we can look in here, and whatever it says, we can rely upon that, because God is telling us something that will help us through the terrible times that come. And let's start reading here in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that is, it's encouraging, but you know, when sometimes things occur, you have a hard time seeing where the good is at. I know that both of my parents are dead. My father died of cancer, mesothelioma in the lung. He was a chipper in the shipyards during the war. And of course, asbestos, when you'd chip it out of the ceilings, it would get down and it would get into his lungs. And as we all know, that is a very prevalent cause of cancer. And he died of cancer, gruesome death. He was a strong man, about 200 pounds, a little bit shorter than I am, just solid as a rock. And when he died, he was about 95 pounds. I remember just before he died, he was sitting in his chair, and was trying to get a handle on the fact that he was going to die. So I went over and I put my hand on his shoulder, and it was bone, just bone. That's the way he was, and he died. My mother, it was really terrible for her whenever my dad died. And she'd had a heart attack probably about, maybe 4 or 5, 6 years earlier to that. And whenever my dad died, it really affected my mother. And I remember she was on medication, Coumadin, to keep the blood thin and everything. And I remember one day after my dad had died, I would always go by, because their home was only about 4 or 5 blocks from where I worked. I worked at Harbor UCLA Med Center. And I would go over there for lunch, you know, just to communicate, keep her going. And she says, you know, I'm having problems with my heart. Can you take me to the doctor? I said, no problem. Now, working in the medical field, Harbor UCLA Med Center, the people over at Kaiser, where she had her primary care, they knew me, I knew them. We would transfer patients back and forth. I worked in cardiology. And so we would, you know, they have really a bad cardiology case. Well, they'd send it over to me, and I'd take care of it. And so I went in, and we went through all the tests and everything. Everything was fine. We came back home, and I told Mom, I says, you know, all the tests are fine. There's nothing we can see that's wrong. And she says, well, you know, if I have to die, I have to die. I'm ready for it. I says, okay. The next day, I went on back to work, went on home. Next day, went back to work, was going to go back then for lunch the next day. And I walked up, and the screen door to the home was locked. Okay, Mom just forgot to let me in. So anyway, I pulled on it, wouldn't get in. So I went around to the bedroom, and I yelled in, and I says, hey, Mom, time to get up. I'm here. I'll take you out to have a taco or something. Didn't answer. I knew something was wrong. Went and got a screwdriver, opened up the screen door. Had a key to the door, of course. Went in. As I walked in, the blue chair where my dad died, that's where my mom was sitting, dead too. And you know, whenever I see things like that, It makes me wonder. I said, what's the real purpose here, and what is the good? Well, actually, in the long run, it turned out to be the best thing for my mom, because every day she would drive up to the cemetery and sit with my dad. You know, it was best that she not do that anymore. And so it all worked out for the best. It really did. And so, you know, when we look at these things, we have to understand it when it says, we know that all things work together for good, those who are called, who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And I know God has called me. I understand that. And he's called you too. And these things that happen to us, we just got to understand it's for the best. Verse 31, and when shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. You know, we may not totally understand just why things happen the way they do happen all the time, but when we analyze it in the cold light of reality, after a certain amount of time has passed, we will find that it was the best thing for us overall. Why do I say that? The answer can be found in our point number six. Point number six is this: God is fair. God is fair. Please turn with me back a couple of pages to Romans, the second chapter. You know, I've talked to a number of people since the death of Mr. Richardson. I've talked to a lot of people on the phone. Actually, people have called me as far away as the East Coast. And you know, because they knew Fred and they knew what was going on out here. And they appreciated, you know, what had happened to Fred, to the family. Because it's got to be tough on the family. I know it is. When they very first, these things like this happen, it is extremely hard, very, very tough. And I've seen it hundreds of times, you know, over the years. And our elders here, I know you've seen it too, you've been there. I remember I was ordained and it was right after that, about a week after, Mr. Les McComb, who has now died, he says, Larry, I want you to go over to these people's home. Said, there's a lady there dying of cancer. The husband is a man, a member of the church, and you need to go over there. The wife is a Catholic, and you need to go see what you can do to help him out. Anoint the lady, etc. And I said, fine, I would do that. Drove over to that place, and as I pulled up to their home, the whole street was just full of cars. There were more people there than you'd shake a stick at. And the Catholic priest was there. And so I finally worked my way through all the people and finally was able to get in the house. The man that was the church member recognized me immediately, came and got me and took me in. The house was packed. It was standing room only with the family and everybody. It was just unbelievable. You know, here I am. I've been ordained about 2 weeks. You know, what do you think about that, Mr. Tuck? How would you like to have that? But anyway, I went in, and the Catholic priest came over, and he says, oh, you're the minister in the Worldwide Church of God? And I says, yes, sir, I am. I said, I'm here in support of our member, and he is called, she was comatose, and he would like for me to anoint his wife. And he says, you know what? He says, can I be with you and we'll both lay hands on her? I said, fine. That sounds great to me. And we did. The whole house. Everybody got down on their knees when we prayed for her. Apparently wasn't too good a prayer on my part because she died 3 days later. And I did the funeral service, and I'll tell you, there must have been 500 people at that funeral service. Not that I was a greenhorn in the church, but boy, I tell you, God puts us, you know, through these things. And all the family, I remember even there, people were coming up to me and says, you know, I just don't understand the fairness, you know, of all this. You know, why would God allow something like this to happen? I remember Mr. Ken Nelson called me. It was right after the death of Mr. Fred Richardson, and we were trying to get a handle on events as they transpired also. And Mr. Nelson made a comment that I thought would be appropriate for us today. He said that he heard Mr. Fred Richardson give a message, had to have been over 20 years ago, maybe 25, it was a long time ago. And he said that Mr. Richardson, in his message, the main point was this: God is fair. And Mr. Nelson said that that's the one thing he remembers to this day. That was 25 years ago. And I think, frankly, that last message that Mr. Richardson gave just last Sabbath, right here in this pulpit, I think I'll remember that forever, although I understand that we're not to take God's name in vain. But Fred did such a good job presenting it. I think we'll all remember that. Well, Mr. Nelson remembered that sermon that Fred gave 20, 25 years ago, that God is fair. Let's read about that here in Romans, the second chapter. Let's start in verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you can judge practice the same things. Verse 5. But in accordance with the hardness of your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous amount or judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That's us in this room. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works that is good, to the Jew first and to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. We need to keep that in mind. There is no partiality with God. God is fair. You know, as human beings, we have a tendency to kind of look at people and use partiality, favoring one person over another. God doesn't have that problem. God is fair no matter what the situation is, no matter what the thing may be that is affecting us. Fred Richardson said that 20 years ago in a message. I'm going to say it to you again today. God is fair. Whenever we see the death of a true servant of God that is a productive member in their family, the church, the community, we can't help but wonder, why did God allow it? The loss of Fred Richardson is going to be having a tremendous impact on the Redlands Church. My wife and I, as we were driving up, we saw the sign out here for Redlands Church. I said, well, I guess Fred put out the sign today. It wasn't Fred. I guess it was Howard. Thank you, Howard. But you know, Fred was always there. And I've said this before in services. I said, when I walk in, when I see Fred Richardson or Bob Carlisle, who are the key leaders for making services work and run, when I see them, I say, you know, things are going to be okay. Everything's going to work out all right. Fred's not here with us today, so we need to keep in our mind the following points regarding times whenever a servant of God dies. Point number one is this. Sooner or later, we're all going to die. We all understand that. We all know it. But sometimes we like to put it to the background. We don't like to think about it. We're told to redeem the time. Because, you know, you just don't know how much more time you got left. When Fred was standing right here last Sabbath, he thought he had another week to go. He was probably already thinking about services for today. We're all just human beings. We die just like the beast die. And I know that God protects us from time and chance, not like those people who died in the Tower of Siloam. A lot of people died there. God protects us from a lot of those situations. Probably in the world tomorrow, whenever we talk to all those angels God has set around us, and we ask them, you know, how about all those different times that you've intervened and watched over us and kept us from harm? I know in my life there have been a lot of situations like that. I could go into detail. I'll just give you one, talking about automobile accidents. I was coming home from school one night, and I'd stopped at the light. The light turned green for me to go. I was in my Corvette. It was a 65 Corvette. I had a 427 in. That's irrelevant. But the thing is, it was extremely fast. And as I took off, because the light was green for me, a guy coming this way running the light, he had to have been doing 70 miles an hour. If it hit me broadsided in that plastic Corvette, I'm going to tell you one thing. You wouldn't see me here today speaking with you. I was all over that thing. Boom! He missed me. I thought he hit me. He must have taken off a layer of paint on the rear of my car. God intervened. Just like Mr. Billingsley. Richard Armstrong died. Injuries all over the place. Mr. Billingsley walked away. We know that the death of one of God's servants is precious in His sight. And I think that's what we got to remember today about Fred. Precious in His sight. And Fred is in a place of safety right now. He didn't have to go through all the trial and the tribulation that we as physical human beings have to go through. No matter what happens, remember this. It all works out for the best. We may not be able to see it right at the moment, but in the final analysis, it will be the best thing for us all. Why do I say that? Because I know that God is fair. God has all power in the universe. Matter of fact, this planet that we're on right now, this home, it's being sustained by God. If He can do that, He can take care of us. We will all miss Mr. Fred Richardson tremendously. But you know, Fred, just like the Apostle Paul, has run his race, and he has a crown of righteousness awaiting him. Let us all follow the example set by Fred and finish our race.